Hi, folks. This week, we continue with our series on co-founder relationships, and I am interviewing Mel and Jeff, aka Flash Gordon, who are a married couple and the co-founders of Tap Hunter, which sounds like a super cool business. They help connect people to fantastic beer and spirits, help people find specialty drinks that they love. And they bootstrapped this business and then have just gone through a second round of funding. So they are growing fast. They're 3.5 years in and have almost 25 employees.
Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. I'm Rob, the founder.
And I'm Sherry, the clinical psychologist. And we've come together to help founders and their families stay sane while starting up.
Each week, we'll talk about different ways to work well, stay emotionally and physically healthy, and stay connected to the people that you care about.
We had just both gone on our own founders retreats. And so it was so awesome to get your note because that was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago now. And it's just, I mean, it's impacted us so much to go off and do that because we literally do everything together, right?
Right.
So, I mean, just that alone in the last few weeks has been really, really impactful. And we've just loved, I think you guys had 2 episodes on it and oh my gosh, everyone needs to do that.
Well, maybe we could even start there. It sounds like it was pretty significant to be able to do that separately. Yeah,
absolutely.
Cause you do everything together. So what did you do in your retreat that was maybe more individually focused?
We travel together. We go to work together. We have weekly one-to-ones about priorities of the business. And I get more energy by being around people. And Flash is, you know, he's the engineer, the CTO, and a little bit more introverted and gets energy from being alone. And so going for me was really difficult. I don't like being by myself.
So to have the challenge to be alone and be quiet, have a slower pace was tough.
And he had a completely different experience. I did mine in Laguna Beach and he did his in Joshua Tree. And he came home and said, I'm doing that again in 6 months. Like, we're always going to do that. So it was fantastic.
That is so good to hear. I'm glad.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess from my perspective, you know, Mel said she doesn't like being alone. I quite enjoy it. So that part was easy and, you know, was nice. But I guess from my perspective, you know, with our relationship, Mel is the more proactive one of the two of us and generally is the one who, you know, sets the agenda. And then I'm the analytical and the feedback one, I guess. And there wasn't that piece there. So I had to kind of do everything myself. And so it was a good challenge, I guess, for me.
You talked about some of the different strengths that you bring to your personal relationship and your working relationship. Sounds like you have an introvert and an extrovert. You have a more maybe business marketing minded person and a technical person. Is that how you kind of think of each other as two separate strengths that you bring to the partnership?
Absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. And that's why it works for a whole host of other reasons. But first and foremost is because we bring different core sets of skills to the plate. I mean, are there founders that are 2 developers and 2 engineers or 2 salespeople? I'm sure, absolutely. But I think to have a real well-rounded start and found a great foundation, it probably is going to be a lot easier if it's on the opposite side.
Did you go into your personal relationship thinking that you would start a business together? How did those things order? Did you sort of fall in love first and then go into business, or did you do it all at once?
Yeah. So we met 15 years ago. So we literally have been together for 15 years, happily married for 9.5. And we met at another startup here in San Diego. We were friends first and both working at a startup, long nights, sleeping under your desks kind of thing, but also finishing school at the same time. So we had an instant bond, but quickly fell in love. And then at work, we had the chance to work together on projects around 2005, 2006. And then we started working on projects together freelance outside of work. And we absolutely loved it.
Yeah, and I think for us, it really hit on the differences between our personalities and the way we approach things. And so what we saw is that working on things together actually worked really well. You know, the things I didn't like to do about maybe running a freelance project start to finish yourself, she was really good at, and she could handle, and I knew she would handle them, and she would enjoy handling the sales process or the follow-up account management or all the marketing pieces or all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think once we did that, we kind of looked at it and said, wow, this works really well. We should try and do this more in the future.
And what was it like to go from working together at a company doing freelance stuff to actually starting your own venture together?
Really, really scary.
Yes.
I will tell you, we prepared. So in 2006, I started a marketing agency, and Flash was still working as the director of technology at a startup that he had literally helped build. He was employee number four there. And I was a marketing in sales and a sales manager and marketing director there, but left and started an agency that he also helped support. And so we kind of had the hybrid model going, right? And he still had a different outlet, and we didn't see each other all day long. But when our idea for our new startup that's about 3.5 years old, Tap Hunter, started taking off, we couldn't ignore it. And he was kind of getting restless at his job, and I was a little bored with the agency. But we had already been saving money in the background because we knew that we wanted to run a company together. We just didn't know what it was going to be yet. So we were already preparing, but I'll never forget the day. It was November 1st, I think 4 years ago, when it was his last day. And that was it. We cut the cord, and it was, oh, wow, we're really doing this.
There is not going to be another paycheck that someone else signs.
It was really, really, really scary. I still remember some very vivid memories of sitting in our living room together with lots of tears going, oh God, what have we done?
It's kind of interesting though, that you both knew that you wanted to work together in some capacity and to do your own venture together. And so you started saving money for that, like really not having any idea of what that might actually be, but just preparing for the future when you would have a business partnership.
Yeah. And I think what we knew was I didn't want to leave my job and go work in Mel's agency because that was not the type of work that I really wanted to do. What we knew was we want to build a product. And so it was really just a matter of finding something we were passionate about that we were going to build. And, you know, it took a while and it took a couple starts, starting a few things that we were like, oh, you know, we see there's a need for this. Let's try it out. And then just seeing if we were passionate about it. And finally, when we got to Tap Hunter, it just hit. It was like, oh yeah, okay, this is it.
Perfect.
And we did it, I guess, as a part-time business for a little bit of time, a little over a year, I think, where we weren't quite sure it was going to be the business, and we were still trying to figure it out a little bit. And then once we did and said, okay, this is it, let's dive in, it was, okay, what is our plan? What is our action plan? You know, how much money do we have in the bank? How much runway does that give us? Our plan was to bootstrap the company to a specific point where then we could make a decision on whether we would, you know, do things like raise money and that sort of stuff. And so we knew we were going to self-fund this thing for at least a certain amount of time. And with that comes a lot of stress. And therefore we tried to plan as well as we could to alleviate some of that stress just through having a plan. We made a personal burn spreadsheet that here's the money in the bank. And when this money gets to this point, we have to make a decision. One of us goes and gets a job, we shut down the company, whatever it is, but we don't go past this point because we're not comfortable after that. And luckily, we never hit that point.
Oh, God. Yes, luckily. And you have 20 employees now, right? Something like that?
Yes. 25 by the end of the year.
And you're 3.5 years in?
Yes.
Fantastic. I was going to ask, though, were there any points of contention about that money number or risk in general? Your different personalities, like, you know, have there been points where you really just saw it differently and took a while to get on the same page?
Flash mentioned the personal burn spreadsheet, and we've shared this with a lot of founders and entrepreneurs. They're like, what is that? And as literally, it was a Google Docs spreadsheet of what was in savings, what revenue was coming in from the business, projected growth of revenue of the business. which was really, hey, Mel, you need to go sell more. No pressure or anything. And we have a mortgage and we got rid of all the extras and shaved away a lot of extras and lived on ramen for 2 years, literally. And Flash's numbers and analytical, and he has this stuff in his brain in real time. Sometimes we laugh and I don't. And I remember because of that, feeling always anxious, and you can't work well and do great and build a business when you're walking around feeling anxious 24/7.
Sure.
So we had to bring up that personal burn spreadsheet quite a bit. And Flash was amazing because he was okay. He knew that that's not how my brain worked. And if it meant bringing it up 5 minutes every night so that I would feel good and could get back to crushing sales the next day, then that's what we had to do. So we always agreed on the number and what our threshold was, but we both worked through that time and that phase very differently. And it was very difficult, very difficult.
Sounds like the emotional aspect of it was different for each of you, but thankfully you understood each other enough to know kind of how to help each other.
Yes.
Yeah. In my mind, it's numbers and it's okay. I know exactly where we are. And as I see where the business is with the bank balance and what I can project that we can pay ourselves this month or not pay ourselves this month, or, you know, what expenses crop up in our personal life that were unexpected, all those sort of things. That's kind of easy for me to grasp without having to actually get it down on paper, if you will. Therefore, I was fairly comfortable day to day with where we were. And it was very clear that Mel was not. And so to not deal with someone who's stressed out about money every day, you know, we did what we had to do to get to the point where she was on the same page as me with, I guess, comfort in our financial situation.
Mm-hmm. And having that regular communication about it sounds yes. important.
If she was feeling anxious about something, she needed to tell me, because carrying that around and not sharing it is a recipe for disaster.
And I did. That was the big thing. I never held back. Hey, I'm feeling this way. Hey, I'm feeling this way. It was like, okay, let's work through this quickly so you can get back to selling the product.
And part of that is sort of realizing that you are stressed and what you're stressed about, and then what information you need to feel better.
Yeah, yeah. And what's so interesting is that being so raw and authentic and emotional and tears, I mean, we think that there are so many pros to being married co-founders or couple co-founders, because there's a different level of trust there. I still say that to him sometimes when there's tears, you know, like I'm a female CEO. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I don't really hold back, and it is who I am. But sometimes I laugh and say, gosh, if I had a different co-founder that wasn't my husband, like, would they really put up with this stuff? So there's this level of comfort that he does really allow me to be who I am without having to cover any of that up. I don't have to double think about auditing myself or dealing with something in a different way.
And that seems like a really unique advantage to being married co-founders. You know, yeah. You don't really have this professional self and personal self. Those separations aren't as defined.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly you probably go into work mode and things like that, but you're a little bit more integrated as a person, and the person you're working with sort of knows you in and out anyway. So there's not a lot of pretense.
From my perspective, right on that. But also it does create a little bit of challenge in that for me, especially early on, but even still, it was really hard to switch between personal and business mode. And Mel would do it freely in the middle of conversations and go back and forth almost. And as a introverted analytical person, sometimes she would roll right into personal mode and be looking for husband empathy. And I didn't pick up on it. And I'm trying to fix all the problems. And she just wants me to listen and say, wow, that really sucks. And so working through that and coming to kind of conclusions on, hey, I need better signs that we're switching into, I need to be husband, not business partner, was pretty important as well. And just realizing that was okay to say, hey, I need those things so that I can give you exactly what you're looking for.
And that seems also important important to be able to have the maturity to, again, notice what it is you're upset about, be able to articulate it, say something about it, and kind of ask for what you need. I think not everybody can do that well. And that seems like a key ingredient that makes your relationship work.
Yeah. And you know, that was hard. Like, I asked that the first time and Mel's response was, you should just know, right? Like, you should be able to tell from our conversation where we are. And so we tried again and we came to another situation.
Guilty as charged.
I think you're probably not the first woman to say that.
Yeah. Shamelessly, yes, that is correct. I did say that. But we always said in the early kind of saving and preparing days and that our marriage comes first. And we said that so many times to each other in the beginning stages that no matter what happens, our marriage will come first. Meaning if something got too crazy, too tough, too hard, or wasn't working, that we would always choose our marriage over the business. That was a big piece to set from the beginning.
And so that priority is clear.
Yeah, it was a promise that we made to each other, and we still stand on that promise today.
One of the things in these conversations with co-founders that I've been having recently, one of the things that people talk about is how they structure the partnership, whether they kind of begin with some forum for ending or for people to be able to leave the partnership, or whether they just go all in and that's not part of the conversation. I'm curious whether you have done that, whether you've set up a formal business arrangement that allows for one of you to leave and sort of determines what happens to the business in the event that one of you doesn't want to continue.
That's such a good question. We're kind of looking at each other. We haven't had the actual formal conversation, but what we can share is that we are set up as a C Corp. We've raised money. We each have, you know, equal equity in the company, and then our investors have the other equity. But I can say with 100% degree confidence that we're both in this business together, all in. And I have a sinking suspicion that both of us will be all in until the end. That's just kind of where we're at in this journey of our lives in this company. Never say never, but that's where we're at. We want to see this thing through all the way through together in this iteration of this company, because we know we'll start other companies together.
Yeah. And I think also we didn't necessarily sit down and put a formal agreement together to say, you know, if at any time you want to exit, here's what happens. But by the nature of setting up a company where you raise money and issuing, you know, basically stock to the founders, that you don't get all of it at once. You know, you earn it out over a certain number of years. It kind of sets up a situation where if a year in one founder did need to leave or want to leave, you've earned a year's worth of equity in your company, and the rest of it goes back into the company and is available for the replacement hire, I guess. So
by nature of taking investment, that's some of that is already set up in the paperwork.
Yeah, you know, if you do take investment as a founder, they're going to want you to not have all your equity vested immediately. You're going to have to earn it out over a certain number of years. And so it kind of forces you to set up an agreement like that.
So there you have the business legality side from the very analytical person and the very rah-rah, touchy-feely answer from the other side.
And both perspectives are so important. Do you work from home or do you have an office that you go to?
We have an office. We live in downtown San Diego and our office is up the street. So we're very fortunate and blessed to not have the stress of a commute. We designed it that way.
We've always had an office. So that was actually one of the big things is, so we do live downtown. So we have a one bedroom apartment. It's 800 square feet. We don't have any kids, but we have a dog. And the important part of when we started the business was that we had a place to go to do business so that we didn't have to be cooped up in the house most of the time while we're trying to work on the business. So we had a place to go and know that this was full focus on building the business.
Now, that doesn't mean that we're not always talking about the business at home.
Right.
And we raised a second round of financing over the summertime, which was very stressful because I'm the one that's leading it. But Fosh very much plays the CTO, CFO role on numbers and things like that. So it was a stressful time. We realized that all we were doing was talking about the business for a few months over the summer in our condo. It became very stressful, and there was kind of a breaking point one night in the bedroom, some tears. And at that point, we made a very clear rule that no longer ever in the future are we ever allowed to talk about business or the company in the bedroom. And that was probably like 3 or 4 months ago. And that rule has held, I think, except for one time when one of us asked permission or something like that. But that is a new rule.
So you have some structure set up to help distinguish personal time and business time.
Yes.
Do you have a weekly business meeting or a time when you intentionally check in about the nuts and bolts of running the business?
Yeah, with our own respective team members have one-to-ones, and the normal cadence of our company is, you know, Tuesday at 10 a.m. operation meetings, and the dev team has stand-ups and the sales teams have sales meetings. And we realized that he and I did not have one-to-ones on the calendar during our normal business hours, and that we just were like, oh, we can have a one-to-one whenever we want. And that was becoming very unhealthy for us. So we now have our own scheduled one-to-one on Thursdays, which is fantastic because then we feel like we don't have to be doing that on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday night at 11 p.m.
Right. You have a time and a place where that lives on the calendar, and you can condense some of the questions and thoughts that you might have throughout the weekend to that meeting time.
That's very, very new for us, just probably like a month or so, which seems absolutely ludicrous. But
yeah, I mean, I think it's also due to the fact that our team has grown so much in the past year that it necessitates it. It used to be that when we were five people, it was super easy for me and Mel to have a one-to-one whenever we really wanted. And now we're being pulled in so many different ways. I don't sit near Mel in the office. And so, you know, some days I see her because I walk by her desk and that's all I see her all day. So it is very different nowadays.
The other fun thing that we do is most of the times we leave the condo at different times in the morning, and we'll always say goodbye. And the rule is that we're not allowed to leave the house without giving the other one a kiss, regardless of where we're going, even if it's like to walk the dog or whatever it is. So normally it's me in the morning saying goodbye to my sleepy husband. And we always say to each other, bye, love you, have a great day, as if we're literally going off to our separate workplaces for the day. And we always laugh when we do it, and we do it every morning, and it's so fun and we love it. Bye, have a great day at work today. Okay, you too, sweetie.
Sort of like a little joke every day. But yeah, it does seem to signify the shift that you're making from husband and wife to now we're going to work and we're going to do work things.
Yeah.
So with so much togetherness and so much overlap in your life, do you both have separate interests or hobbies or groups of friends? I mean, does it feel like there's enough space for you to be individuals and grow as individuals? Or is that a challenge?
It has been a challenge, but I think that we love spending so much time together. Our interests are camping and hiking. The recent story I love to tell is about a year ago, we watched some friends complete a half marathon, and Flash and some of his buddies were talking about how they should challenge each other to sign up for a triathlon. He ended up signing up the next day, and then a month later encouraged me to start training with him. We'd never done anything like that before. And for the last, you know, 2.5 years, we'd been running the business and that's all we had done. And so we had kind of gotten out of shape and a little overweight. And I'm sure, as you can imagine, being in the beer and spirit industry, that helped pile on. So we started training together, but training for triathlons is a very individual sport. So that's something that we share today, but we also train separately. Yeah, we don't have a lot of separation. And when we recently did our own founders retreats a few weeks ago, that's probably the first time we've had planned separation time or individual vacations in 5 or so years.
Yeah. I mean, outside of Mel taking a quick business trip to pitch an investor or meet a partner or something like that, I guess time set aside to go somewhere for yourself, not for the business. But yeah, so yeah, on the training, it's funny because we both train, we both do essentially the same thing, but it frequently happens a little bit separately. So even if we go out for a run and we both leave for a run at the same time, we both end up going at a different pace. And so we're not next to each other. We're not feeling the need to, okay, we need to have a conversation right now while we're focused on this other event.
So now that you've been doing this for a couple of years and really had tremendous growth and you've had the founder experience in a pretty like hardcore way, what advice would you give to folks who are thinking about founding a company with their spouse?
I would say, because you asked about the friends part, is having other friends around you that are founders, even if they're not couples or not, is so important. Some of our closest friends today are founders of other companies that may not be running them with their significant other. And then we do have very close friends who are couple founders and married founders together. So important to be able to talk to other people or have that person you can call at 11 o'clock at night when you feel like the world's ending, because I've made those calls. And so that's a big piece of advice. I think for me, our other big piece was engaging with our business and leadership coach. We didn't always have the funds to utilize her, and we recently have. I literally can't even describe the importance of that, not only as building yourself as a leader for a company, but the relationship part of a founder, regardless if you're married or not, because the two biggest reasons startups fail is they run out of money or founder conflict. And what I love about our business and leadership coach is she's also our marriage counselor, like double whammy. How amazing that we get to do that, right? I mean, the biggest thing married couples work on is communication, and that's what she helps us with. So if you can think about how that oozes over into our marriage, like from our founder retreat that I did a few, you know, my own founder retreat I did a few weeks ago, I came back and read verbatim what I had written down, which felt very scary to me, but I promised myself that I would. And I wrote, I'm the happiest I've ever been because I feel so lucky yet connected to my co-founder, who's also my husband, right? That's amazing. And it hasn't always been that way, right? That's a lot of hard work to get to a place like that.
So it sounds like to proactively really protect the health of your relationship, whether that's working with a coach or a therapist or some other method, but really taking seriously the importance of communication and relational health, both for your personal life and your business life.
Yeah. I mean, I think communication is key. As a introverted engineer, communication has not always been my easiest piece. And when we started really saying, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to start this business, and I was still working for a different company, we took advantage of my health plan and went and saw a, you know, marriage counselor. And it was not because we had any specific issues. It was because we just knew we could be better overall. And communication was a big key of that. And it was getting to a place where we're okay, where it's like, if I'm feeling something, I can share it and I feel comfortable doing it. And it could be business related, or it could be personal, or it could be something about how I'm feeling, you know, internally, or it could be something about how I'm feeling about something Mel's doing or whatever it is. Getting to a place where your communication works really well is, I think, the most important thing.
Those are a couple of the things that I'm really struck by in our conversation are, like, first, your really proactive planning, whether that's setting aside a chunk of money even before you had an idea, or it's proactively seeking kind of relationship health before you have a problem. You've put a lot of effort toward being healthy and being careful and planning even before you had to, which I think is fantastic. And then the other thing that I really love about what you've shared in our conversation is the way that you are really committed to that open communication, to being able to say, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I need, can you help me out, or can you lend a new perspective? Or there's not a lot of emotional entanglement or shame or feeling like, oh, I can't say this because it'll hurt his feelings, or oh, I can't say this because she might freak out. Or there's a willingness to really be open and share with each other. And that seems like it's served both of you well in your business and in your family life.
Absolutely. It's been scary And I will say the next level of that is the timing. That's one thing I'm working on. I'm not good at the timing of the better of the timing when you can express this stuff. That's a very, very difficult thing. They say there's a time and a place, and I'm still learning that.
Well, you know, gotta have something to work on.
Yeah. I think also on the communication part is we really see that as key for any relationship. I mean, open and honest communication is a core value of our company. You know, it's something we talk about not just with each other, but with everyone in the company. And it's really important. And that means sometimes you have really hard conversations with people on your team. I'm specifically thinking of one yesterday that Mel had, not with me, but it's important. If someone's feeling something, they should be able to share it.
And I don't think you could create the safety for that and the way to do that professionally and healthily if the two of you weren't committed to doing that.
Absolutely. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we get up and wake up and walk to the office every day, is to continue building a great team.
Well, you guys, thanks so much for talking with me and kind of opening the window into your personal relationship and the way that you have functioned as founders.
This level of sharing with people like you and Rob, and the level of sharing that you do in your podcast, the level of sharing that this allows us to go do with other founders and entrepreneurs, I mean, that's why we're all doing this. And people have to feel comfortable and safe, and then you want to feel liberated at the end of the day on why you're all doing this. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Hopefully we'll get to meet someday. It'd be fun to sit in a room with you guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder.
We'll be back next week with another conversation about how to enjoy a little bit more Zen in your startup life.